I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own.
Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 367 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So it's not only Valentine's weekend and, you know, the Monday following, whenever you're listening to this, we're recording this on Valentine's weekend. So it's not only Valentine's weekend, but it is the premiere weekend of Men in Kilts. Who is so excited? I am so excited. I have read the book. So I feel like the book Clanlands, I've read the book Clanlands. So I feel like I kind of know what they're going to show me throughout the season. But because I listened to them talking about it, I'm even more excited to actually see it because it was so funny, all their little behind the scenes takes on it. It'll be funny to see how they try to either make it not ridiculous because of, you know, the backstories that they had, or trying to see them be professional, or also see if they just catch all of the Graham Sam camaraderie that comes across so well in the book. Did you get my postcard, Ginger?
Yes, I did. It was so cute. Summer asked me yesterday, like the day before we were recording, or she texted me, did you get my postcard or something, something? And I was like, no. And she's like, I sent it like a month ago, or I planned it like a month ago.
Go to my dad's house. Like,
wait, it should not take that long to send a postcard. What? And then I think she showed me a picture, or she said it was through Men in Kilts. And I thought, oh, and then you showed me a picture of something, right? And then I thought, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen people sharing pictures of those online. I just never, so it looked familiar, but I'm like, I don't have one. And then literally, I went over to my parents' house last night and it was there. So the timing, I'm guessing they gave you a certain window to request them or to put the order in.
There was an email floating around with a link, and then they talked about it on social media. But I was like, I thought about telling you about it, but I thought it would be more fun for you to not expect it.
So you waited till the day it came to surprise me and tell me and ruin the surprise.
Mostly because I was impatient. I was impatient.
That's not impatient.
Impatient
is if you had told me about it 2 weeks ago. That you're not impatient. You're just kind of like, excuse me, people. The thing is, this weekend.
Everyone else was showing theirs. And I was like, where's the one I sent her?
And we look forward to Men in Kilts. And maybe we can, since we won't be covering it with the podcast, maybe we can do something in our, maybe we can have some, it won't be like live after shows like the show, because that's even more, that's a little bit more work, but maybe we can have, we'll definitely have discussion posts. That's like not a problem, but maybe we can have a live or two while it's on. Do we know how many episodes there are?
I'm sure it's eight or I don't know. I can look it up.
Eight. Okay. That's respectable. So we have another 2 months of starting to this weekend. We have 2 months of Outlander adjacent goodness and pure Scottish goodness. So, yeah, well, definitely.
And I foresee Outlander-specific content being released soon, like pictures and things.
Oh,
because
sure.
People,
yeah,
they are underway. They are now, the production of season 6 is currently happening. So there should be more things to help us kind of deal with our Droughtlander. Not just our read-along, but you should continue our read-along.
We,
but, you know,
yeah.
there will be other fun things that hopefully we can fluff it up with from the week to week.
Are you calling us fluffers? Because I did not sign up for that.
I have always been a fluffer.
Okay. You heard that here first. Shimmer is a fluffer. Makes sense.
You just think you heard it here first.
Oh, well, I heard it here first.
It's not.
It may be common knowledge in other circles. Not in this circle. Okay. Mm-hmm.
This episode, we'd like to thank co-producer Anna L. If you are curious about what a co-producer is and what that entails, wait till the end and we will give you a little more information about how you can find out more. And also, we still have spots on our 2021 Pod Abroad tour, Outlander-themed tour of Scotland. We will talk a little bit about more about that at the end, but we wanted to put that out there and ask if you guys would like to join us, because we'd love to have you.
And now, on to our read-along. This week, we will be continuing our A Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along with chapter 36, entitled Winter Wolves.
So, this new bébé is named Henri Christian, and he appears to be healthy. He was simply a dwarf. And then, ironically, from Claire, quote, "In a way, I supposed I should feel grateful to him. Nothing less than the birth of a dwarf could have deflected the attention of the Ridge from me in the events of the past month." Unquote. Sure, Claire, that's one way to look at it.
It's kind of bitchy. That's a kind of bitchy thing to say.
It's a little something. It's a little something. I mean, that's
your grandchild.
Exactly.
Is that really how you want? I mean, though, to be honest, any new baby really takes attention away. But special new babies definitely... Yes. Everyone wants to see it, because probably most people have never seen a dwarf.
True. Now, Fergus had come back 3 days after the birth. He'd stayed long enough to agree with the name that Marsley had chosen, chatted with her a bit, and then left again. Marsley and the kids were still staying at the big house for the time, and she refused to be separated from her new son. She was fiercely protective of him. Now, people had come ostensibly to speak with Jamie, but we know they really wanted to get a peek at this new baby. Young Ian comes to visit and has brought his new cousin a present. Marsley is expressing her frustration with Fergus to Ian, and Ian asks to hold wee Henri Christian. He tells Marsley that he had a child. So this is a first.
Do you know what this chapter reminded me of?
Mm-mm.
This chapter reminded me of the scene in, I believe it was Outlander, when Jamie stayed up in the middle of the night and took Jenny's crying baby. And whispered. Yeah. And was whispering all of his secrets. And he was saying, there's so many things you can say to a newborn baby, but you can't just say to regular people. So he had that scene of him sitting out in the living room by himself, just like pouring his heart out to this baby. And that's what this reminded me of, because when Ian came back, he wouldn't talk to anybody. And for whatever reason, this baby made him talk about it.
Yep. And then we get a third person telling of a little bit of Ian's story. Briefly, he was lying next to his pregnant wife and he knew something was wrong. He calls for help. People come and they take her away, and he begins to recite a Hail Mary, and the thought pops into his mind that the child was already dead. He felt guilty for having lain with her, even, because he feels he caused this. And by this time, he, with Rollo, of course, is out in the woods taking his own escape, running and crying and praying. And then they run into danger. Rollo alerts him to the fact that there are wolves around. And wolves always take me back to Claire being dumped out of Wentworth. It's very freaky. And his throwing stones, her throwing rocks. It just, I had a flashback to that. Now, together, It's a lot longer scene than I am portraying it to be, but I don't need to do the blow-by-blow. Together, he and Rollo kill the wolf who was trying to kill him or hunt him. Now, he noticed a little bit later that the belly of the belly of the wolf was moving. It had been a pregnant mom. While he's out there in the woods now with this wolf killed,
what else would it be?
A pregnant mom?
Dad? A pregnant cousin?
Pregnant.
It was a pregnant. It was a pregnant wolf.
pregnant wolf. Another Mohawk eats turtles, finds him later, tells him that Emily, his wife, or what he calls his wife, was alive, but there was no mention of a child. So that means the child had been a daughter. Eats turtles says that he'll want the wolf skins of the baby wolves.
How would you like that to be your Indian name?
Wolf skins?
No, eats too turtles. Close to
Oh, as I say, wolf skins is too close to foreskins. No.
No, I'm just like, what if your name was based on the thing you liked to eat? What would your name be? Like, pick one thing. What's your favorite thing to eat?
Probably eats pizza.
Eats pizza.
Either eats pizza or eats, what else? Eats pizza, eats nachos, eats... Ooh, I do love eats pesto.
Eats pesto.
Eats Greek yogurt. I mean, there's so much, but probably eats pizza, unfortunately.
Mine would probably be drinks wine.
Mine would be, no, I couldn't say my, I like whiskey, but I don't drink it enough to actually be able to be named drinks whiskey. No. So East Turtle says that Ian will want the wolf skins of the baby wolves who are still inside the tummy to wrap his son in. When he has him. So that is why he knows that the child was a daughter and not a son. So this was the bundle that he had brought Marsley. The wolf skin, the baby wolf skin, the skin of those baby wolves, pups, wolf pups, to wrap his own son in. He brings those skins to Marsley. They were for him to wrap his own son in. And he tells her, quote, "Believe me, cousin, your husband grieves, but he will come back," unquote. So Ian speaks of experience. He speaks from knowing not exactly what Fergus feels, because Fergus does already have 3 children and a 4th one who is perfectly healthy, just formed differently. But same intelligence, same, like, you know, in for all they know, you know, he has internal gut health. He's going to eat, poop, pee, all the stuff. He's not like missing something. But he knows from his experience in the brothel that, you know, stuff happens. So, but anyway, this is a unique point of view that Ian can provide right now. And so he's doing his best to reassure him that he will come back.
Moving right along to chapter 37, entitled, Ginger, I'll let you take this one.
Le Maître des Champignons.
Is that mushrooms?
Correct.
So what does Maître D stand for? What does Maître D stand for, host?
It's the master of something, because the de apostrophe, or the de, means of.
It's like the master of the door. I won't let you in. I'm the Maître D.
That I don't know. So the chapter opens with Claire going to the stable, as she's walking there, she's getting dive-bombed by a bird. In the stable, though, she finds Fergus. So that man who has run away...
Didn't run far.
No, he did not run far. That is true. Has been staying in their stable. Her greeting to him? Henri Christian is doing well. He's putting on weight.
No, that's not her greeting to him. Her greeting to him is, oh, so there you are.
Yeah, but then she says, without waiting to hear from him, that his son is well and he's putting on weight. Like, I'm not going to entertain you with niceties. I'm going to go straight up smack you upside the face with news about your son that you abandoned, basically, kind of 30 feet.
Have you ever said to yourself, I love the fact that I've had the same pair of sheets since just after college, and I never liked them then, and I just keep washing them every week or two and putting them back on my bed like it's totally normal? Well, stop it. Brooklinen can make that voice in your head and the bed sheets on your bed go away.
Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooklinen,
as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company.
They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes.
Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting, so they are confident you will love their products. They even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more.
Now, I know they say you don't have to keep your sheets if you don't like your sheets, but if you do like your sheets, you can keep them forever. I have had the same set of Brooklinen sheets for going on, what, 4 years now?
At least.
4 years now, and they are still as vibrant as the day we bought them. They are still as soft and buttery as the day we bought them, and I still look forward to climbing into my bed at the end of the day.
And I still have all of my sheets. And they're white, and I love them. And the reason I say they're white and even care to point that out is because I had a duvet cover that was, the base was white, but one side had gray stripes. The other side had like some flower thing going on. So it's double-sided. And I had gray sheets besides that. And the reason I got white is because it went with anything I did. The gray side of the duvet, or the gray pillowcases that match the gray side of the duvet, or the other side. So the reason I like Brooklinen is not only for the quality of sheets, but I was able to choose a color scheme that went with everything I already had. If I did it piecemeal, like, you know, only use certain parts. And also, I can use the duvet cover that we got and have a completely full white set. So there's so much you can do. You can mix and match, especially with solids. And yes, they're still soft like butter, but I just love mixing and matching, and they work great.
So go to brooklinen.com and use promo code Outlander to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping.
That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code Outlander to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping.
brooklinen.com and use promo code Outlander at checkout.
She goes on to try and reassure him that Henri Christian is healthy, that dwarves have got quite normal intelligence, and there's no reason he can't be educated and be able to work at something. Fergus, the realist, counters with, quote, "With respect, milady, you have never seen the life of a dwarf," unquote. And of course, he has, in Paris. The brothel where he grew up catered to diverse clientele, including the exotic. Now and again, the madame would call out for le maître de champignon, the dwarf master. There were les chanterelles, the females, and the males were les morelles. They weren't badly treated, he says, because they were of value. Quote, "Le maître would buy such infants from their parents," unquote. Now, those who escaped the brothels, who stayed on the streets, were beggars. And he knew one such dwarf named Luc. He was alone and had no protector, and he was murdered. So Fergus is thinking of his own early life at the brothel and his rescue by Jamie. And he is terrified, terrified that his son might have to turn to that sort of life. And Claire's response is that they would never let that happen. This right here should have given us a warning, friends, who have read through Book 8. But I digress. Fergus replies, quote, "No, you would not, milady, but you will not live forever, nor will milord. But the child will be a dwarf forever, and les petits cannot well defend themselves," unquote. Claire cannot deny that in general he is right, especially for that time. She remembers even Mrs. Bug had crossed herself and made the sign of the horns against evil when she had first seen the baby. Fergus continues, "If he is allowed to live, and he makes it to an older age, how will he earn a living?" Fergus is so despondent about already not being able to keep his family, meaning keep them dressed, keep them fed, all of that, that having a dwarf child stresses him out even more. He's now understandably worried about the kind of life his child will have. He throws his hook down. He smashes his stump against the wall. And he cries, Mon Dieu, il est aussi inutile que moi. Which means he is as useless as I am. And he takes off again.
I mean, I feel like his concerns are valid, but he should be having those concerns at home with his wife and not alone in a stable while everyone's doing everything for his wife and his kids for him because he's off sulking in the stables.
His concerns are 100% valid, 100%. It's the way he handles them. And I don't mean by sulking even. I don't mean by going away even. I mean by leaving. That's the inappropriate part. By abandoning his wife, basically. Multiple times. Mia R. writes, this chapter deals largely with the tremendous burden that Fergus feels following the birth of his son, Henri Christian, who was born a dwarf. Claire expresses her sorrow for Fergus and tries to encourage him, but he is too deep in his rage and depression to be reached. It is heartbreaking to read of Fergus's fear for his family and his depression. Fergus is disabled himself and is overwhelmed by the thought that his son will suffer likewise. As a reader, we feel for this beloved character and also, again, see what a loving father he is.
So I didn't mention this during the last chapter. I meant to, but then I got flabbergasted by how quickly the chapter was over. And I was like, that was only 10 minutes. That's not an episode.
I mean, it can be.
It's not. That would be a shitty episode if it was 10 minutes long. We're like, it's a quick one. Are you... I mean, they're obviously going to have to at some point tell Ian's story, which they haven't yet in season 5. So I imagine we're going to get Ian's story. I don't know if we're going to get it like this, but I mean, especially since he won't have a baby. There's currently not a small male child to give the pelts to because she had a girl and they're only on baby 3, but. They won't. I mean, unless they do include Henri Christian and they push this to the end of the season, I don't know how they can't include it exactly the same way. It will have to be heavily adapted.
Henri Christian is a huge old question mark. I think we can all agree with that. It is going to be.
I just mean he's not going to give the pelt if he has it and if he brought it with him and if they include the pelt in the series. He's not going to give that to Felicity, and Felicity's the baby that's currently on the ridge, the new baby. So it wouldn't be able to be told in the same way and probably not with the same meaning, but obviously we need to have Ian's backstory.
We need hella backstory, girl. So let's say we have all the books and we have all the Henri. Not necessarily speaking to how, as you said, it would be a challenge to do all of this. Or however much they kept of it. The one thing I would say that would be good about, although you could do it to a certain extent without having Henri, but having Henri Christian would bring it to the front and would allow for this, I think, much more dramatically. It would be amazing for the character of Fergus. It would give that actor so much, or at least for that part of the season, it would give him more meat. It would be a great opportunity for, what's that dude's name?
César Domboy?
César. Oh, Domboy. Yeah. César. Oh, César, I think César would do it. I think, I understand there's like only 872 characters every season. So he barely got much FaceTime. His biggest scene or his biggest episode was where, I think it was when, wasn't it the episode when Marsley gave birth? When he came in and he was chatting, I don't know. He was there. I forget what episode it was, but he was there and he came in several times. Oh no, it was when Jamie was bit by the snake, I think. And he came in and he was saying, look, I understand. Da, 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 da. I'm not going to abandon him, whatever. So he had more words to say in that episode, I think, than the entire season. So I know he is considered, he's a major character. Absolutely. But he's a secondary major character, if that makes sense. I would love this would not just for César. It would be great for Laura. Am I making that up? It's not Laura, is it? It's Laurel. Laurel. Am I making up those names?
Laurel. Who's Laurel?
Who plays Marsali?
I'm trying to Lauren.
Thank you.
Lauren Lyle.
Lauren. I knew it was an LL. See, it wouldn't only be great for César. It would be great for Lauren. I mean, she already does great. Don't get me wrong. We don't need any better Marsley. She's fine. She's like the kick A that we want. We love our Marsley. She's perfectly cast. I just think this, while it would present an amazing dramatic opportunity, handling the depression and the angst and the fear and everything, because not only did, you know, has it, I'm not saying that the characters obviously haven't forgotten, but the show, and because there's been a lot to cover, hasn't really reminded us much about Fergus's brothel beginnings. And that's okay. We don't need it to be reminded of it. It's not really pertinent to the storyline. But here, it would be able to be. And I don't know. It's not needed. It's not necessary. They could absolutely do away with it. But I think it would be interesting to keep, insofar as presenting really interesting character work for César and Lauren.
Well, and not only that, but what I loved about Ian giving that the pelt or the skin or whatever to the baby was just that I thought it was I don't think it was Ian thinking he's never going to have his own son, but I think he felt like this little boy is going to have enough struggles that maybe the luck in this pelt will keep him safe. Or also to show Marsley that, you know, I'm going to help. I will be there for him too.
That's true. I never thought about that. I never thought about that that way. And that would be great. Yeah. So even though we've gotten a little bit of Ian's backstory in season 5, this is a great entree into that. It allows great dramatic opportunity for two of our favorite characters and actors, but also because of the connection with Ian, or at least that Diana gave to Ian, it allows us insight into more of his story without having the producers having to figure out another way to kind of insert that or to continue his storyline. Okay, so that's a little chat about what it might offer.
I mean, that should have happened at the previous chapter. But I was so shocked that you were done that I forgot that I was meaning to talk about that. I was like, what?
I told you it was short. This is why it's combined with another chapter, because it's so short.
Well, I didn't think it was that short. You just condensed that wolf chase and him being out in the forest while his wife was having the baby into like 3 sentences.
How much do I need to describe? He went left. He went right.
I don't know, but there were the pages. Wolf. There were so many pages.
There were, which is why I condensed it.
All right. Eats pizza.
Eats pizza. Okay. That's the title of the episode. That's awful. And I don't know if that's insulting or not. It's not. I mean, it's insulting to me to call me that. But I don't know if that's insulting using a fake native name.
Well,
but it's insulting to me because it makes fun of me, which I'm okay with. Oh, boy.
I mean,
so Summer and we never talked about it on the show. Summer and I have started a new texting service. It sounds like an 1-800 or something number. No, it's not. So we have this new texting service from this company called Community. It is.
I'm sure you're familiar with it because Sam Heughan is using it.
Yes. And J-Lo and many others. And many celebrities, which we are not. We did have to apply, though, and like say why we wanted to do it. So anyway, our number, if you'd like to text us for free, I mean, local charges, whatever may apply, we have no control over that. But many people have free unlimited texting, at least nationwide. This is U.S. only. I don't know that anyone internationally would be banned or blocked. I just know that if you texted us from overseas, number one, I don't know that it would get through. And number two, there would be fees. So our number, before we go any further, you can text us, is 1-916-659-5112. Get that out of the way. Okay, so we thought about naming it like, is this the Outlander podcast line? No, because we have the All Souls podcast and we don't want to be beholden to any one topic / we want to be able to talk about anything. So we advertise it or promote it as everywhere. So rather than calling it a pod or after like a media company, we called it just Ginger and Summer. So text Ginger and Summer, period. That's it. So you can text us there and we both get it. So what I have done. I don't have an MO. We don't have any kind of patterns yet or any plans or any scheduling yet. And we don't. I don't think you can actually even schedule with this. So anything you get from us is literally sent right seconds before it appears in your phone. So what I did notice, I sent a text last evening, and what I did notice was I've only sent two. So even we have replied to people, but as far as sending a text out to the whole group, it's only happened twice, once on each Friday. I'm like, oh, well, that's nice. It's the end of the week, wishing people a good weekend, whatever. So what I did yesterday, because again, I will never, ever not be tickled by this because it is probably the best. It's just the best. I don't think we're ever going to get any better than that. I signed it. One of my favorite sign-offs is have a great weekend, XX, shimmer and toots. And that still is the best. But it is the best. But maybe we need. Summer and I have Outlander Podcast t-shirts, and on the back, hers says, talent and mine says producer, something like that. We should get one that says shimmer and I'm toots.
I mean, I've offered to do that multiple times.
You have?
And you keep telling me you won't wear a shirt that says toots on the back.
I will totally wear one now. I'll tell you now. I will totally wear one. Okay. I just thought about that. So the reason I bring all this up about related to this chapter or related to our discussion of this chapter is that I signed off as XX, whatever, shimmer and toots. Well, I just thought if I signed off like next week, XX, summer and eats pizza or drinks wine and eats pizza, it wouldn't make sense because this won't have aired yet.
You're silly.
That's why I made it. But that's why I brought it up. So that's why I brought it up. But yeah, I wanted to make sure we actually talked about it because we haven't talked about it yet. So yeah, if you guys want to join us, just send us a text and we can chat.
But why should they? Why should they join us?
I don't know.
And we both have access to it. Ginger will finish her little thingies with a G. And I try to end mine with an S.
Yes. Try. She does. I would say 95% of the time. Yeah.
I'm just saying. But we are rarely together, which means you may get a comment from Ginger that I will comment on her comment. So
you're funny.
Be prepared.
So yeah, so if a message is ever sent out to you, like XX, Ginger and Summer, or Shimmer and Toots, or whatever, if it's signed both of us, whoever sends it, me or her, likely me, but it is from the both of us, but it's signed both of us. So other than those messages, my Sean Connery comes out again, which is a little bit fake.
Oh God.
Irish in there. Okay. If it's from Shimmer and Toots, Ginger and Summer, whatever, and we only send out two messages thus far. And we won't send out one. I promise you, we do not spam. We would never. If you get something like that from us, that's from us both. Anything you reply to that goes to us both, even if you're trying to say, you know, hey, Ginger, XXY, like chromosomes, XY, XYZ. And then, or hey, Summer, XYZ. You can certainly do that, but just know we're both going to get it. And that's the same thing and that's the exact reason why I do my best to sign G and she does her best.
Oh, but full disclosure, Ginger will absolutely respond to anything, even if it says Summer.
I do?
Because she just can't help herself. You will. I'm not saying you did.
When did
I
someone
said you will?
Oh.
I'm just saying in the future, you absolutely will. It'd be like, hey, Summer, what's your blah, blah, blah? You may be, oh, I can tell you that. You like to
well,
be involved.
Summer doesn't
don't be weird.
If Summer doesn't get back to you in a timely manner, which she may not, then yeah, I will likely step in. If I know the answer, if I can answer, then I might.
Now I get it. I get it. We're not J-Lo. We're not Sam Heughan. But we don't generally like, because we don't like spoiling people on Twitter, we don't generally like live tweet episodes on Twitter and live tweet things on Facebook because, you know, everyone is so touchy about spoilers, as am I. I don't want to be spoiled. If I want to be spoiled, I will go and find it. I can find it if I want to, but I don't want it sent to me without my permission. So we thought this would be a much better way to kind of connect with the people who do want to do like a live thing together so that, you know, we can each kind of respond and be a part of a thing and send out live things like that during
during shows and during other things like that. Whereas I know I'm not nearly as cool as Sam Heughan or J-Lo. We are not pretending to be those people, nor do we think we are in those echelons. But we just thought it would be one more way to actually connect with you guys. And to, because this, I promise you, I will get these texts. I don't always see what's on Twitter and I don't always see what's on Facebook group, but I will see these. There's no hiding
them
from me, Ginger.
And that number goes straight to my phone and straight, that is our number. It goes straight to my phone and straight to her phone. So we, that is how we reply. So it is absolutely us. So we would love to have you join us. And again, that number one more time is 916-659-5112.
So I guess that's chapter 37.
Cool.
So join us next week when we will continue our Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along with chapter 38, A Deal in the Milk. Is that what you said, Ginger? A deal?
Mm-hmm.
And chapter 39, I Am the Resurrection. It's about to get Jesus-y in here, y'all. And if you'd like to join us to continue the conversation, please join us online at www.outlanderpod.com/group.
And a special thanks again to co-producer Anna L. To find out more about how you can support us on Patreon or what Patreon is at all, you can visit outlanderpod.com/Patreon.
And if you're interested in owning any Outlander Pod branded merchandise, you can go to our website at www.outlanderpod.com/shop.
And to find out more about our Pod Abroad 2021 trip next fall, you can go to podabroad.com. And thank you, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.